Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode of TaylorMade, the coach talks to us about the disappointing loss against Bethel and what he's expecting against St. John's this week. He talks about what a special player Austin Duncan was, and a fan shares her appreciation about the coach. So let's join TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Yeah, good to be back. Team updates, you know, again, just always knock on wood when you ask this question. You know, our guys are relatively healthy. You know, with the circumstance of being what it is, you know, guys are bouncing around with some mostly good attitudes. I mean, that's a good deal. You know, fighting through a tough season. So just ready for another week in the MIAC, man.
I know a tough loss against a very good Bethel football team this last Saturday. Your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, it was very, reminded me a lot of, you know, unfortunately, the week before Gus Davis, man. I mean, solid MIAC football team, but, you know, we do some things, you know, I always talk to our players about gap plays, right, game altering plays. There were probably about four plays, one special team-wise, one defensively, and a couple offensively that happened in that game that really turned the tide, man. You know, the score was what it was, but I felt like we did some things in that game that were pretty good. We just couldn't do enough, and, you know, when you have those game-altering plays, you know, those will kill you, man. So that hurt us, and we must try our best to eliminate, you know, those plays, man, or reduce them. You know, if we can cut them into two gap play, one and a half for St. John's will be a lot better. But, you know, you can't do that against good football teams, and that's what Gus Davis and Bethel were. They were good football teams, and we're going to face an elite football team coming up. So,
you know, it's funny, Coach, because I watched that game, and I thought, despite the fact of them scoring 33 points against you, I thought your team really played well and really commanded a lot of that game as well.
Yeah, we hung in there. Again, we hung in there. But again, man, every football game you can look back on, and there's a few plays you can look at and just point them out, like, up. They punt the football. We lose the edge. They get a short field, score a touchdown. You know, the quarterback, which is a very good quarterback, transfer from Minnesota, he scrambles around a little bit. We miss a couple tackles. He scores a touchdown. You know, so those plays there, man, they bite you in a football game, man. So, again, you know, I hate to keep saying it, man, just a lot of young people who have not played a lot of ball. So, I mean, we just got to fight through with the tough times, and we've got to grow people up fast here, man. So
this week you take on that very good St. John's team. So what do you do to prep for that game?
Well, you know, starting with St. John, starts with the tradition. Coach Foshan is doing a great job. I think he's been there 23 years. I want to say he's an alum. Got a very, you know, it always starts with the quarterback. You know, this kid is coming. You know, he's a Minnesota kid, but again, people who don't know, I mean, he went out to Penn State as a walk-on. Again, beat Penn State, you know, a school growing up there. I mean, that's a school I idolized growing up. I wanted to go there. So that kid went there as a walk-on. And for whatever reason, you know, he's back into the MIACs. I mean, that's an issue. You know, they have some big, strong, physical running backs up there. Two of them, 28 and number 25. They are some, that they look like how your running backs want to look. I mean, they look like they can be playing, you know, in the Big Ten, to be honest with you. And then they got a couple guys on the defensive side. Max Jackson, number one corner, and then Nathan Brinker. I mean, those two kids are really good football players with a host of other guys. I'm leaving some guys up. I'm just highlighting, you know, that there's some really talented football players up there. And this is one of the best St. John's teams I've seen, man. So it'll be a great challenge. It'll be a great challenge for our guys. So.
Well, let's head to fan questions. We start with Bill, who has a couple for you. The first one is it tough to watch the results on Saturday when you know there is another level in your players?
It is. You know, it's all about, you know, in coaching at any level, it's about getting your players to execute, period, right? So, you know, it's tough, you know, when you know, you're not getting your guys to do exactly what, you know, you want them to do, you know. So, I mean, that's very tough to watch. And, you know, you can't play for them. You know, at the end of the day, they have to go out and make the plays. All we can do as coaches is put them in the position. Now, if they can physically do that, sometimes, you know, you're a year away when you're playing young guys, you know. So it's always evaluating things, you know, from a football standpoint. Is it the scheme? Is it the coaching? Or is it the personnel? You know, so that's what my job is every day when I look at the tape. That's what I'm trying to figure out, you know. So, yes, it is difficult kind of watching, but, you know, we got to work through those things, man. And we know what we're up against, man. We're in a great football league, and we just got to continue just to keep working, recruiting, 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 till we get to where we want to get to. So,
Bill would also like to know, what do you think as a coach during a game like against Bethel when your offense simply can't move the ball?
Well, the natural reaction with that is you want help. You know, what can we do to help? Okay. You know, we have young offensive linemen. Okay, can we throw some quick screens? You know, do we take some shots? Maybe, you know, maybe we can get a 50-50 ball. You know, it's just trying to, as a coach, especially as a head coach, you know, with each side of the ball when things aren't going well, how can you help those coordinators to you know, give them some insight on what you're seeing from your vantage point? So it's just a feeling of wanting to help. You know, if you feel a little bit, you know, you want to be able to help those guys, man. Again, you can't play for them, but you can put them in a better position with a different play call or a different formation, or even just a different tempo. You know, just try to do it at anything. Try not to leave any stone unturned. So.
You know, I wonder, I know that the big thing for a long time that Bill Walsh kind of started was teams schemed out what they were going to run for their first 15 plays or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that when you come into a game, you build up a plan of exactly what you're looking to do to attack an opponent. How long do you kind of stay with that plan if you see that it's really not working for you?
You know what? It's funny you asked that because that came up on that conversation came up on the headset on Saturday playing Bethel. You know, do we get away from the script? Do we stick with it? You know, so I mean, it's an interesting question, and that's more so a feel. You know, you got to have a good feel for your club. You know, what happened? Was it something they did, or was it something we messed up? You know, if it's something that they're doing, they got a beat on you. Yeah, you might have to change it. But if the wound is self-imposed, then yeah, you stick with the script. So that's funny you asked that question because that conversation came up when we went out for our third series, man. So, yeah, that happens.
So. Next up is an anonymous fan who says, do you think Austin Duncan was a once-in-a-coach's-lifetime kind of player?
Austin Duncan, special player, I tell you that. I was actually, you know what, it's funny, man. I was actually telling one of our freshman running back, excuse me, freshman receiver, Tristan Thomas. We were just talking about an Austin Duncan story today in my office before I got on this call. So it's interesting. Somebody had a question about Austin Duncan. Yeah, man, he was good. You know, and it's funny. You always kind of put the players. You know, I started doing this now. You know, going into year 16. You know, who are like some of my top 10, 15 guys that you coach? And Austin Duncan was there, man. I mean, just a leader. You know, a fierce competitor, tough. You know, wasn't the fastest, would never break away and run away from a guy, but. You know, he didn't want to tackle him one-on-one. You know, I mean, that was a real special type football player. And so I'm glad I was able to be around him for 3 years. It was good.
Plus, he gave you 30, 35 carries every game without complaint. So.
Oh, my goodness, man. What a warrior.
Yeah, he was a monster, no doubt about it.
Yep.
Ethan would like to know, what do you do to try to keep the offense of opponents off the field when you can't run the ball right now?
Yeah, good question. You know, that's something that I'm constantly – you know, talking to the offense about is, you know, the screen game, you know, quick screens to running backs, you know, screens to receivers. I mean, you got to be able to generate some kind of run offense, especially when you're a little bit outmatched, which the last couple of weeks, you know, outmatched up front, you know, just with playing young guys and playing against a lot of seniors and juniors, you know, it's going to be tough for our younger guys to move older guys, right? It's just that's the law of physics. So, yeah, I mean, you got to do some things in the passing game that are safe, but short and quick hitting. So,
next up is Paula says, Coach, it seems like a lot of people have shown concern about the record and how that impacts recruiting, but isn't it better that you have a coach who has been around for a while? Like, doesn't that give kids a sense that they will be playing for the same coach for 4 years from now if they can join that program?
Absolutely. And I think stability is a huge, you know, a huge, huge thing when you're talking about recruiting, you know, and being a player when I played, the coach that recruited me did leave. You know, I understand that dynamic is real. You know, you would like to be able to play for a coach for 4 years. So the fact that, you know, one of the main reasons why, you know, when the whole transition came up as far as who's going to be the next coach of Hamlin, one of the main reasons, man, as far as it was two of them, right? Our president, you know, President Miller, big time football supporter, you know, gives us everything that we need to be successful in our athletic director, Jason Verdugo. Those are two reasons why I stayed, man. So, yeah, the stability is critical. It's an important deal, and, you know, we want to get this thing right, and it can be right, and it can be a great place to go and compete in the MIAC. So we got to start with myself, just got to roll our sleeves up, and we just got to work. We got to continue to keep working. So we got a great 18 class. We just got to put a 19 class behind it and keep moving. So, good.
Chris says, without getting you in trouble, do you think officiating is good in the MIAC?
You know what? I'm really, I don't have too many complaints, man. I talk to those officials before every game, and I always tell those guys, man, you guys got a hard job, you know. So, you know, I think personally, knock on wood, we grade those guys after every game. Those officials will get graded because they're trying to see if they can make to officiate in the playoffs. You know, so if you get a bad grade, you're probably not. But I haven't been giving out too many bad grades. I think officiating is fine. I think, you know, it's gotten better. I know when I first got here as an assistant coach, you know, you're a little more. And I never talked to officials, but you're a little bit more critical on the officiating. But as a head coach, man, I'm always, man, I don't say anything to those guys. That job is way too tough, man. So.
Next up is our buddy Andre, who says, isn't Jason Garrett remaining as the coach of the Cowboys like the best thing that could happen for the Eagles?
My man, Dre, man, it's always good to hear from you, Dre. Please keep the questions coming. I enjoy when we get a chance to hear from a guy from Philly. To be honest with you, Dre, I'm in no position to be talking about anybody's coaching job right now. So with that being said, I'm not commenting on Jason Garrett. I don't have enough information, don't watch enough of it, but I mean, if anything can benefit the Eagles, I'm excited about it. But I don't know, you know, I can't comment on any kind of, especially with a season like this, I can't comment on any kind of coaching job. So.
Andre also asks, he says, nice win over the Jags, but the team doesn't look like last year. What's up with that?
Yeah, again, Dre, now I don't get a chance to study it as much as you, so I don't know. I do know, I heard on the waiver wire, we picked up a receiver, I think a kid out of Notre Dame, Golden Tate. So, I mean, that'll be cool. I think he's a big run after catch type guy, so he can hopefully spark some offense, and maybe we can get back to firing on more cylinders like we were last year, man. So it'll be good for us to make another run. So we'll be fine.
Joel says, not a Packers fan, but wondered how you would feel if a player went to the press about another player not following the coach's instructions.
Oh man, okay? I haven't been following, but I'm assuming that something like that has happened. We talk a lot about. Especially in this day and age with the social media with our players. Now, I try to always keep everything in house as much as possible. You know, if you've got an issue with somebody, go talk to them like a man. You know, be men. Let's not go to the media, point fingers, you know, put the blame. Let's go figure it out. If you've got an issue, go figure it out. I mean, especially, the NFL is different. I don't know how they handle it. But again, right, we're trying to get these guys ready for the real world. In the real world, you're going to have conflict. How do you resolve conflict? You go talk to somebody, sit down in a controlled environment, and you figure it out. So, yeah, you definitely would not be happy if people were talking to the media.
Next up is DeAnthony. He says, do you think Hugh Jackson will get another shot as a head coach? I think it is unfair if he is judged on how well he did in Cleveland.
Wow. You know, we haven't been following it much. I don't know anybody on that staff or know him. But just from afar, I remember when he was with Cincinnati, I thought he was very, very sharp offensive coordinator. So I'm assuming, you know, somebody will pick him up as a position coach slash coordinator. And then, you know, if he does a good job, I think he'll get another shot, you know, because Cleveland's a tough job. That's just historically been a tough job. And it was tough back when Bill Belichick had it, and, you know, he was able to, you know, get it turned around. So, I mean, it's a tough job. So, but again, just everything I've heard of Coach Jackson, I mean, he's sharp. He's really good. So just maybe in a tough situation.
I know the people in Cincinnati love him and love to have him back. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you never know.
Rick says, I love Halloween, but why do all these companies think that pumpkin spice should go in everything? I mean, pumpkin spice Twinkies, a line has been crossed.
Pumpkin spice, yeah. You know what's funny? I had a pumpkin spice Pop-Tart this morning, so I always thought that was kind of interesting. I said, I'm a pumpkin pie type of guy, so I thought we'd try this thing. It actually wasn't that bad, so I liked it. It was good.
I'm sorry, Rick. It sounds like Coach is against you on that one. Danielle says, candy corn. Can you explain the love affair?
Miss Danielle, I don't know the love affair with that one. I was never a big candy corn guy. So, honestly, haven't had it so long. I don't even remember what it tastes like, so I don't know.
We have a couple of questions from Beth. She says, do you think you take a good picture?
Miss Beth, I guess. You know what? It all depends on, I guess, the mood, the moment, what's going on, you know, how you feeling, where you're at, what the environment is. You know, if it's cold, pretty sure I'm not taking a great picture, but if it's nice outside and I'm out by the lake, you know, probably taking a good picture. So I think it all depends. But to say, you know, I can leave the coaching profession and jump into modeling and take great pictures, absolutely not. That's not, no. I would not I would not do well in that. So.
And then Beth also says, "You're such a good guy. Excuse me, you're such a good guy, Coach, and cute. Just wanted to say that."
Miss Beth, thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it. And come on out and see a Hamlin football game.
Yeah, then you can see the coach all the time. That's the way to go. And why is it good to be a Piper?
Again, man, great to be a Piper. Time is running out with our seniors. We can get another opportunity to get out and practice with those guys today, be around them tomorrow. And again, right, me being from New Jersey, I can remember growing up and hearing about this St. John's. Like, I always just went, what is St. John's? Back in, the late 90s, 96, 97, 95, you always hear about this St. John's, Division III football, St. John's, right? So our guys, right, our players, our scholar athletes get a chance to get on the bus, go an hour and 20 minutes north, right, up to St. John's and play in a great venue, right, play the number 4 team in the country. That's what people don't understand, man. Like, our players get a chance to play against really, really, really good football programs, man. And we're building towards that, and we're trying to get there. We're not there yet. We just need a little bit of time to keep putting some classes together. But in the meantime, our guys are getting valuable experience and valuable chances and opportunities to play against the teams and know what it looks like to play against the number 4 team in the country. Like, there's some Division III schools in the country where the league is not that great and you're not playing against good opponents. We always use every situation as a positive one, so we're excited to go up and play the number 4 team in the country and take our swings and take it one play at a time, one series at a time, one quarter at a time, one half at a time, and then we'll go from there. So.
That's excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, thank you.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at chiptaylor@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's chiptaylor@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.